T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Mark San Reese on a Football Friday in the Delaware Valley without our team being on it. Nevertheless, Football Friday. Ike Reese, Johnny Marks. What's up, Ike?
Johnny Marks. Holla at your boy.
It's also National Hugging Day today.
Ah, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either before I saw somebody on Instagram put it on.
Do we need to have a pre-show hug?
No. Yeah, we don't.
We're past that now, yeah.
Yeah, no.
The show has started.
Yes, yeah, no hugging. Although, hug your friend or your wife or somebody today. National Hugging Day.
Okay.
So let's end the week like this, all right? Because it's been a heavy Eagles week. It's been a weird Eagles week because of the playoff game and the loss. But people were mad about the loss, but still happy about the season. And everybody loves the quarterback, but doesn't really believe in the quarterback. That's where I've arrived to. They like the quarterback. They don't really believe in the quarterback. So the Eagles as a whole. So, well, you know, obviously the quarterback plays into it. The coach plays into it. The roster plays into it. Everything. Draft picks, Howie Roseman. Is the arrow pointing up on the franchise right now? You know, listen, they won 9 games. The final game of the season, they didn't even try to win, so you can make the case that it could have been a 10-win season. New head coach, you have a lot of draft picks. Everything that you have, the entire package of draft picks, cap space, the players they have now, the players that could be exiting, where they're headed for the future. Would you say right now the Eagles, the arrow is pointing up, pointing down, pointing to the side?
I don't think the arrow is pointing down, right? I'm going to just start by saying that. But I can't necessarily say it's pointing up because I don't really know what we're going to do this offseason. So I honestly think we're in at least as I sit here today, and maybe a worse position because it's almost flatlined, right? It's almost to a point where you're saying, are we building on what we did this past year, or are we going to – when I say building on it, I mean trying to advance what you did from this past season. Or are you saying, we're not ready just yet. We're still a year or so away. So then we need to add pieces. So we're not going to do much this year. And if that is the plan for this offseason, some people may be on board with that. And I may get on board with that eventually. But it doesn't mean that the arrow is pointed up because there are still too many unknowns out there. If we're going to rely on draft picks and low-rated free agents to try to improve the team, and we're waiting till 2023 just to see if Jalen is the guy again, then I can't necessarily say that's the arrow pointing up. I can't sit here and say that with confidence.
Right. No, I agree with you, and I think you're being kind by saying that it's not pointing down.
Yeah.
And you're looking and saying there's been progress this year. I don't want to say the arrow's pointing down. They did just win 9 games, and like you're taking some successes from the season. But ultimately, how can you say the arrow is pointing up when you don't know who the quarterback is of the future? When the Eagles,
right,
truthfully, we know this, everybody, they don't know who the quarterback of the future is. Jalen Hurts, although they had some success as a team with him as the quarterback last year, I didn't see enough progress.
There's nobody can tell you that they are committed to Jalen Hurts past 2022.
Nope.
So how can the arrow be pointing? You know what I'm saying?
It's hard to say it's pointing up when you don't know who your quarterback is. Yep.
It's hard for me to go there.
Yep. And by the way, for all the assets that they have now, unless Howie, and this is where I'm curious to see, and that's why I've always been saying they're not using three first-round draft picks. They're going to move around a little bit to try to get draft picks later on. Mm-hmm. Because if they use these three first-round draft picks and they build the team first and give Jalen Hurts another year, then you don't have assets to trade up and get a top quarterback if a rookie guy is there and it presents itself. Or you have less assets.
That's going to cost you more. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's going to cost you future draft picks.
So they were able to do it to go up and get Carson. So that's right. Notable. They were able to. But it's a hell of a lot easier when you have first-round draft picks
right
at your disposal to do it.
And you got somebody to take Byron Maxwell and
I still don't know how he did it.
DeMarco Murray.
We should have Howie Roseman Appreciation Day just for that.
Just for that.
Yeah, it's true.
And Kiko.
Yeah, and Kiko. That's who I was thinking of, was Kiko, right?
They got rid of all the
Kiko
bad contracts.
Unbelievable.
They saw, because Mike Tannenbaum's like, well, I'm going to get fired anyway, so sure, let's.
Yeah, I'm going to do Howie a favor.
Let's do
now
this.
He's on ESPN, never getting back in the league.
No, probably not. Yeah. No, probably not. So you would say that it's not going down, but it's definitely not going up.
No.
Jack?
I gave you the worst answer possible. No real direction.
Well, I mean, you gave us the answer even though you didn't give the answer. Jack, pointing up, pointing down, to the side, what do you think?
Well, let's say they beat, you know, some of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. And in one playoff game, we saw everything we were worried about for the entire season. Like, we still don't know if Sirianni can coach. I mean, he can run the ball to a division or to a playoff spot, but can they pass the ball to a division spot? I don't know. I would say it's more pointing down than anything, because I don't know what the offense is. They're not going to be a running offense next year.
No.
They're not going to be that.
They want to be.
The owner and the GM don't want to be. And I still don't know who the players are on defense and might be losing their defensive coordinator. Like, I think this season was fine, but it feels more like a one-off year than a beginning of something special. And at the end of next year, I don't think the quarterback's going to be here. So we don't even have our young quarterback for building with and going forward. I would say it's actually pointing down.
If I believe that the Eagles believe that they're not, that Jalen isn't the quarterback, or they have high suspicion that he's not, and they're still weighing their options. See, my biggest issue, I believe that the Eagles don't think that he's the guy. Howie Roseman. I think Nick Sirianni loves Jalen Hurts, and, you know, like he liked with Jalen Hurts and he saw progress. He's the coach, right? Like Nick Sirianni, that's one of his guys. He's a coach. Mm-hmm. Howie Roseman, the front office, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, whoever else, I think that they see what Jalen Hurts is. The thing that disappoints me more than anything is if they're really kind of just saying, well, we'll build again next year. And because it's always been aggressive Howie. Like, I'm always going to be aggressive. I'm never going to sit back, and we're never rebuilding. We're trying to win games. And even when he said.
I still believe that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would like to believe that. But are they really going to sit back? Have they already decided that they're not going after a quarterback in the draft or one of the veteran guys? Have they already decided that they're going to build the team first? That's what it seems like to me, because I believe them when they say that Jalen Hurts is their quarterback.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think that they think he's a good starting quarterback or that he's their guy long term. I believe them when they say that he's their starting quarterback for 2022. Because to me, it seems like they want to build the team first, see what Jalen Hurts is next year, and then try to get a quarterback after that if you have to, which I think is the total wrong move. I do. So that's why I say that not only is it pointing down, it's pointing way down. It is pointing way down if this is really what they're going to do. If you're going to build your team first, you better be a team that's capable of building your team first. That's not the MO of the Eagles under Howie Roseman, which is going in like, all right, we need a really good draft or two to get a bunch of young players to where then we can add the quarterback to it. That's not how he does. Howie's not drafting, not using first-round draft picks to build in the core. Like, you should be aggressive and go out and get the quarterbacks that are available that normally wouldn't be available. The Russell Wilsons of the world become available once in a generation.
And by the way, you don't typically build a team by building pieces around a fictitious quarterback and then going to get a quarterback. That's not how you build the team.
Not normally.
In other words, most teams aren't saying, well, let me go out and get the receivers, the running backs, the DBs, the linebackers, everybody else, and then I'll get a quarterback later on. That's not how people build teams. That's not what you do, because you have to have the quarterback in hand first to know what to put around him. Now you can put an offensive line together, you can put defensive players on a team, right? But you still don't know what you are as a team until you have the quarterback. And you don't typically build up the team and then add a rookie quarterback to it and say, let's go and try to win games.
Yeah.
That's not how you usually do things, and that's not how the Eagles have typically built their teams. They usually get the quarterback and then build the team around the quarterback.
Yeah, they're obsessed with finding the quarterback. Yeah. And normally the teams that quote-unquote elect to build the team first, really what's happening is they're striking out on finding their quarterback.
Yes.
So that's what they're left to do is say, well, we built our team first, now we got to find a quarterback. No, you failed to find your quarterback.
Right.
Look at Denver. Denver, by all means, has a good roster, good skill guys, good defense, couple of good running backs. They don't have the quarterback because Drew Lock ended up not being the guy, and they traded for Teddy Bridgewater, hoping that he could be the guy. He's not the guy. So now they're hoping to get lucky, and Aaron Rodgers wants to go there.
Right.
They didn't draw it up like that to where they were going to build the team first. They struck out. They couldn't find him, and they're still looking for him.
Yep.
You want that to be the Eagles? You want to be the Eagles to where it's like, oh, well, Jalen's not the guy. Well, I mean, we can draft this guy here in the middle of the first round, or Teddy Bridgewater Jr. or somebody becomes available, and now we're trying to trade for him. It just seems very risky to try to build first and get your quarterback after.
It's hard to do that. It's just hard to do because you have to have the quarterback to know what you're building, what's his strengths, what's his weaknesses. Right? Is he a mobile quarterback you're looking for? Or is he some strong arm pocket guy? Right? There's a difference between the way Joe Burrow plays quarterback, right?
Man.
And then the way you watch some other guys play quarterback. So you need to know what style of quarterback you have back there. It doesn't mean you can't win with a Josh Allen or someone else. It just means that Joe Burrow and Josh Allen are two different styles of quarterback.
Yeah.
They just are. Just two different. And they're both very good. But you don't build a team and say, I'm going to just plug him in there and he should fit with the team no matter who I have out there. That's just hard to do unless you plan on being bad enough to draft that high to get the no-brainer, no-doubt quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you become bad enough to get that guy,
the best
quarterback in the draft?
No, you're right, because with Burrow, it's like, we have T. Higgins and we have Tyler Boyd. Yeah, we're going to use the fifth pick and get another wide receiver.
Oh, you mean with Jamar Chase?
Yeah, they're looking at the quarterback that they have, and they're saying, yes, we're adding another wide receiver to this. If you don't have the quarterback, are you using that pick on the wide receiver at five, or are you using an offensive lineman? Are you drafting somewhere else?
Well, the funny thing about that is that Chase, give credit to the Bengals, they said, yeah, we may need an offensive line. Joe Burrow was sacked more than anybody this year in the league, 51 times.
And he tore his ACL
tore his ACL. But you know what they said? This receiver is too damn good to pass up. That's basically what they said. They said Chase is too good to pass up. He would be more effective in our offense than Penei Sewell or what have you. And they were right.
He's better than advertised.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's better than advertised.
And if Howie was smart, he would have traded up to three
to get him, yes.
Jeez.
Yes. Like, if he was going to be that good, who was the first pick in this year's draft?
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Hell, you can make an argument.
Zach Wilson.
You can make an argument. Jamar Chase is the best player in this draft.
Him or Parsons.
Yeah. But no, they're the best two, Jack. You're right.
Seriously.
Well, who would you rather have on your team next year, Chase or Parsons?
Chase.
Probably Chase. You're right.
Chase. It's an offensive league.
But you can't go wrong with either one. Dallas could do that because they have the guys that they have on offense.
Sure.
Still lost in the first round. I just want to point that out.
Yep. Yep. All right, we'll take phone calls. 215-592-9494. It is Marks and Reese.
Damn, Chase.
Football Friday.
You're right. He's about better than advertised. Yeah, even I didn't think he was going to be that good.
And remember he had the drops in training camp and he couldn't see the ball because of the way there was
no lines on the football.
Lines on the ball. It's like,
and I mocked him.
Yeah, that's why he fell in the draft, in the fantasy drafts. And
he
won leagues because he had 53 points in the championship.
That's how I lost.
Oh, I hate to see that.
He looked like he was like, oh, Cincinnati, they're so stupid.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
he picked a receiver that can't see.
Classic Bengals.
Well, we have a receiver that can't see, I think. 215-592-9494. up. The arrow in the Eagles right now as we sit here on a Football Friday. We've calmed down from the losing in the playoffs.
Probably not a good thing we've calmed down. I think we've calmed down too much.
No, I mean, I've calmed down from the actual game.
Right.
But discussing
the team gets you fired up.
I'm incensed with the performance of the general manager. Really, the general manager. The tone that is set of, whoa, yeah, you know, it's going to be a slow build, and Jalen Hurts is our guy. Like, what?
Let's go to the phones.
Paul is calling from Westchester, New York. He leads us off today. What's up, Paul? How are you?
Guys, I got 2 points for you.
Yeah.
The first is, hands down, this is the best sports radio talk show ever. Okay.
Oh, wow.
You, Ike, and Jack, I swear to God, I don't call on any other talk show. I've never called you guys twice. That's the first point. All right?
Do you not know my name?
Oh.
That's John.
What do you mean, do I not know your name? Of course I know your name.
No, I know, because you didn't say my name, and then you said Ike, and then you said Jack. Jack, so Jack was using that as you.
I've been screwed my whole life being short. Excuse me.
I said John, Jack, and
thank you.
Okay? The best. You got, honestly, and if I'm being really candid with you guys, I said this before, Ike, I don't know if your agent is sleeping, but the fact that you don't have a show on television in Philadelphia on sports is ridiculous. You are one of the best broadcasters out there. There's no question about it.
Wow.
All right?
Is your agent sleeping or are you your agent? I think his agent is sleeping.
Well, then,
Paul. I agree, because then I could use some of that, too. I could be the Andy Richter to Ike.
What are we doing right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Now, here's my second point. I called you guys.
I need you to be
last
my agent.
Year we talking about. I'm a lawyer, but I don't think I could be your agent. That would be very bad.
No. All right.
And you deserve better. You deserve better. So here's the deal. We were talking about Sirianni last year, and we said, good move, bad move. And I called in and said, dumpster fire. Okay. Here's my point for you guys. How are we discussing an up arrow when is it? Am I right or am I wrong? They didn't beat a team with a winning record other than the Falcons, they played the first game. What are we talking about here? They did not beat a team with a winning record. Where does that point up? You know, I'm not a quarterback guy, but like anybody could see that this guy was missing passes left and right. He had, a 16 games this year, 4 games last year. He's missing easy throws. The national media was making fun of him on a national broadcast. I mean, it was horrible. Where's the up arrow there? Is it because we have 3 first-round picks?
No.
When was the last time Howie did anything? I'll stop. Go ahead, guys.
No, I mean, listen, you bring up a lot of valid points. I think you bring up a lot of valid points. But for those that feel like the arrow is pointing up, and I would say if you were to twist my arm, I would say the arrow would be pointing up for me more than it would be down for me. I mean, when you look at the Eagles' assets that they have, when you look at the youth on the offensive side of the ball, it's not all bad. The problem is there is nothing there concrete, right? So you almost left, if you're someone who's looking at the glass half full, you're left feeling optimistic. Okay, he can get better. He can get better. We did this year. Well, the arrow can only be pointing up. We can only go up from there. The problem is that isn't necessarily how it always works out. You know, do we see anything special from any of these guys? How high is that ceiling when we're saying the arrow is pointing up? And back to the quarterback position, if you don't believe in the quarterback position or you have question marks about the quarterback position, again, how far could that arrow be pointed up? It may be slightly pointed up, right? And it could change this offseason. I mean, the Eagles go out there and you nab 1 or 2 top-flight free agents, especially at the wide receiver position, then we're all going to be feeling a lot differently to go along with those draft picks. I'm just saying, as I'm sitting here right now, I still have a lot more question marks. And when I look at these playoff teams, compare their roster, their talent level to where we are, I'm like, man, there's still a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of work to do to get to where those teams were. And I'm just talking about the first round guys. Us and Pittsburgh, and you could argue Pittsburgh, mate, they got the defensive player of the year on their team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got Chase Claypool. They got Deontay Johnson. They got Najee Harris.
Who's legit.
Yeah, I mean, so
They need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Granted, so do we.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you can look at their team and say they may have a little more talent than we have. They got Minkah Fitzpatrick, right? They got some other guys that aren't necessarily – their best players aren't old players.
Sure.
Like our best players is, with the exception of Devontae Smith.
Well, they have a better defense than the Eagles. Their skill guys are better than the Eagles. They just don't have a quarterback. And if they go into the year with Mason Rudolph, they're not going to be very good next year, right?
Nope.
Right, if they don't seriously upgrade or draft a quarterback and say he's going to be our guy, like then at least you have the quarterback that's drafted to be the guy. The problem in why I'm being negative now with the Eagles is it feels like to me, even though they know that Jalen Hurts likely isn't the guy or Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, they're doing this whole, well, we'll just build for another year and see what happens. Which is like that. Listen, okay, right, that's what you want to do, fine. But what is it like, Ike? So what are we talking about, 2023? So now you don't have a quarterback, and you're starting over again in 2023.
And then we got to hope we get the right guy then.
So you drafted a quarterback in 2023, so that means 2023 and 2024 are more years where you're building and you're struggling.
Young developing quarterback.
So now we're 2025 before we're starting to win games? Or like, seriously? That's the problem. You can't use this pet. Like, this past season, you can look at as a success if you're trying to build off it. They're not trying to build off of it.
Right.
They're more or less like I'll be curious to see what they do.
Yeah.
If they do anything in free agency or how much they move around in the draft, they're still going to draft some players and get better as far as the future. But you just had a couple of rookies out there. What do you expect this team's going to be next year?
Yeah.
Worse or the same?
Yeah, you're not adding 4 Jamar Chases to the team.
Man. No, in fact, you look at some of these mock drafts at who the Daniel Jeremiahs and Mel Kuypers have drafted. I don't want any of these guys. This isn't what I was envisioning at the beginning of the year when it's like the Eagles have 3 top 5 picks. Now, Jack, they have a bunch of guys I don't even want.
That's why making the playoffs is a bad idea.
Right, shut up. You were right. You were right. They got smoked in the playoffs. We got nothing out of it. They were competitive.
Now we're drafting some guy named George, an edge rusher from Purdue in the first round.
Yeah, the quarterback got exposed. Man. We're getting a center from Iowa and an edge rusher from Purdue, Ike.
Hell, I like pain.
What is it? It's been a long week, man. 215-592-9494.
Arrow's pointing up.
A center from Iowa and an edge rusher from Purdue.
Oh, but you wouldn't trade them for Russell Wilson, you dopes out there. All you people that wouldn't trade these first-round draft picks for Russell Wilson, go look at the players that are being mocked to the Eagles and come back to me. 215-592-9494.
Well, didn't we sign a defensive end from Purdue this year?
Did we?
Well, yeah, he played one game, actually, for the Eagles. It was Sunday.
What, to a futures contract we signed him?
Ryan Kerrigan, man.
Oh, my God. That's right. And
that's the last time Purdue had a defensive end.
That tells you how bad that backup offensive lineman is for Tampa. It's a first place carry. Yeah. Kerrigan had three tackles all year. Arrow pointing up or arrow pointing down. It is Football Friday, Ike, which means we have our regular Football Friday features, including NFL playoff locks, Nick Costos at 2:45, Elliot Short Parks at 3. He's totally off Jalen Hurts, and we'll confirm that today. And then Mike Florio coming up at 4 o'clock, and then all the phone calls and everything else.
I need Costos today.
You need him?
I'm lost.
Are you?
Yeah.
Same.
I can't make up my mind here.
These are not easy games.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Games this weekend. They're not. I agree with you. I was struggling going through them, too. All of them. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Back with your phone calls next. All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. Football Friday, RIP to Meatloaf, the singer. And Louis Anderson also passed away today. Louis Anderson, what, stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
Host of Family Feud, good host of Family Feud. And he washed vegetables at McDowell's in Coming to America.
That's right. I think that was my first time I seen Louis Anderson.
Has to be.
The first thing I seen him in?
I don't think he did much before that. No. He was a comedian and stuff, but I was never a...
Didn't he have the cartoon or animation or something?
He did have something like that.
So yeah, but obviously for me, yeah, he was the
So where's he is it Cedric the Entertainer 1 and then Louis Anderson 2 as far as stand up?
I don't think so. I never heard Louis stand up though.
I've probably seen some type of something, like, not live, obviously, but
yeah. I just remembering the line from Coming to America is that he planned to be on fries one day, or he was planning on working.
When you really start to make the big bucks.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's all I remember.
And then Jack, what's your go-to Meatloaf song? I know you were probably.
Well, what's the one where it's like she's rounding third, heading for home? What's that Meatloaf song? You don't know that one?
Don't ask Ike. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, there's Bad Outta Hell, which is.
I might know some if I heard it. What's his most popular song?
Like, where the girl goes like, "Stop right there." You guys gotta know your Meatloaf. I mean, that's just the fact.
I mean, listen, I know Meatloaf with the Hunt's tomato paste on the top of it. That's the Meatloaf I know.
Right. That's the
green peppers and onions in it.
That's how I make it at home.
The Paradise by the Dashboard.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. Maybe Ike know. Ike does know.
Yeah,
maybe
I do know,
like,
something.
Oh man, that's Meatloaf. Man, yeah. I'm good. I'm not like, listen. He passed away. I'm not here to
give me his top song.
His top songs are
the most popular song. Give me a snippet of it.
Yeah,
Jack.
Just give something, Jack.
Yeah,
There's the line shot up the middle. Look at him go. This boy can really fly.
He's
rounding.
Is that a highlight?
Really it's like there's the, yeah, hold on. This is, I've got a bad part of it.
Sounds like an 80s movie. 70s?
70s and 80s, yeah.
70s, 80s.
Sound like Bad Outta Hell, I believe, is his biggest. And Rocky Horror Picture Show are the probably two of his
All right, we most tried. Popular songs. I mean, we tried to honor him.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
I really honored him on Twitter.
I put up a poll. What's better, Meatloaf the dinner or Meatloaf the singer? And people were very upset with me. I didn't say that he was bad. I prefer the dinner more than the singer because I wasn't a fan of the singer. And you know how I feel about Meatloaf.
He loves his Meatloaf.
Yeah, make it three times a month is what I normally do. Not every week.
Do you go red sauce or you know, do you put what type of, what, do you so put it's, anything
it's
on it?
It's ketchup, white vinegar, and brown sugar is what the mixture is, and that goes on top. I put it on top and then cook it at 350 for 55 minutes.
Okay. 55 minutes?
55 minutes at 350. You got to let it sit at least 10 minutes to let it kind of set. And I'll actually cook it and then refrigerate it and then just eat it later.
Right.
So I can, yeah.
I've never made a meatloaf.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I've never made one.
Yeah.
Now, Renee makes meatloaf from time to time, but, you know, the kids aren't big on meatloaf.
No?
I don't mind it. I kind of grew up. It was a staple in the Reese house.
Yeah. Good value. Yeah. You know, get a good portion of it.
That's the key word.
That's
yeah.
Key word right
sure.
There. Good value. You're
no,
right.
I actually heard somebody talk about it today where it's a Midwestern dish.
Yes.
Like it's a staple in the Midwest.
Yes, for sure.
But did you put brown gravy on it or
she did it both ways.
Yeah.
She did it both ways. That's what I said. She did it both ways and usually with a company with mashed potatoes or and peas.
Mashed potatoes and a vegetable.
Yeah, some sort of vegetable.
Hits the spot.
You know, as a kid, you're like, oh, God, we had meatloaf again, man.
You knew it was coming every week.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. But I tell you, I'd rather have that than liver.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, the days we had liver is the day I didn't eat.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It was pretty much just going to be rice and gravy that day. That's it.
That's what it was. And you took a bite of the liver or spit it out?
Nah, no liver whatsoever.
No?
Yeah, moms did that when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and that was the end of that.
Mm.
That was the end of me eating it.
Sure.
Yeah, it wasn't the end of her cooking it.
Yeah, I can smell what the liver smells like right now in my nose.
I had one of those mothers that was like, hey, either you eat what we're all eating or you don't eat tonight.
So you would just have rice and gravy.
Yeah, if you want to be one of those picky eaters, picky eating isn't what we do around here.
Exactly right. Jack was talking about putting mustard on meatloaf.
Oh, yeah. That's a great mix.
Jack is so odd with mustard. He puts mustard on cheesesteaks.
Mustard on cheesesteaks. When I make a meatloaf sandwich, I have some
mustard
doused on top of it. Yeah. It's a good mix.
It seems like I only like mustard on. I'll eat mustard on a hot dog.
And sandwiches.
Turkey sandwich, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't get the turkey. I've never had turkey and mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey and mustard's good.
Yeah, I do turkey.
I can definitely do turkey and mustard. Ham and cheese.
Yeah.
Genoa salami.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Lebanon bologna. You a Lebanon bologna fan, Jack?
No,
I'm not a Lebanon.
Tommy's my bologna expert. Everything by.
And bologna.
Is that the pickled bologna with the... Is that...
Lebanon bologna looks like Genoa salami. But yeah, so it's cured bologna. It's an Amish thing. It's a Pennsylvania Dutch thing.
Okay.
Yes. It's sweet. The Lebanon bologna's sweet. It's very good. You may or may not like it, but I love Lebanon bologna with American cheese.
A lot of cold cuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of cold cuts. I'm with you there.
Definitely. Our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Support the home team. Shop Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville for the best selection of diamond engagement rings in the area. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Where's the arrow
never
pointing?
Never had gabagool, though.
Gabagool? Never?
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You probably have. If you've eaten, do you like Italian hoagies?
No.
No?
No.
That's where you'll find it in a good Italian hoagie.
Okay.
Right?
I just remember Tony was always eating.
Yeah.
What's the meat?
It's a spicy ham.
Yeah, what's the meat that they always ate?
Prosciutto?
The Sopranos, yeah.
Gabagool.
Which is had something.
Yeah, yeah, good Italian meats. That's what you find in a good Italian hoagie.
Okay.
Not one you find at a gas station that makes hoagies. Wawa doesn't have the best Italian hoagies. I'll go turkey when I go to Wawa. They're good. All right, do you believe the arrow's pointing up after on the Eagles season? 61% say yes, Ike.
There you go.
27% say in the middle. 11% say no? Arrow's pointing down? Mm. All right. Okay. All right. Let's go to Matt in Coatesville. Matt, go ahead. How are you?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Great show today.
What's up, brother?
All right. My arrow's pointing up, but let me explain this, all right? Have you ever had, like, a gas tank on E, and then, like, next thing you know, you go up a hill, and it slowly goes up just a little bit, and then you're like, I got a couple more miles left. That's where I'm at with this team. This team is, like, it's there, but it's not. There's so many holes. So, for me, it's up, but this offseason, man, if it doesn't go good with the draft.
It's a tenuous up.
See, he's kind of where I'm at. That's what it sounds like.
You want to say up, but you're not sure.
You want to say up, but you just don't know.
Yeah, it's there. It's up. But, again, I can say one thing. When you guys were talking about Roseman, the only thing I disagree with is I believe that he can go into this draft. Possibly do if he does use all three picks, that's fine with me. The reason why is he is a master with cap room. So if we end up next season, Hurts doesn't pan out, and they need to get that quarterback, and they got to do that, you know, 40 mil max contract, they can afford it at that point. I just don't see trading for Wilson at this point, not and giving up that opportunity to bring in.
What are you talking about with the master of the cap, that you could sign a quarterback?
I'm saying that he can make the cap room in the next season. He can make it so that it's ready to bring in a quarterback and still be able to have free agents.
Yeah, agreed. I guess my point is it becomes more difficult to get that quarterback if you don't have these draft picks, right?
Be limited. Yeah, I mean, like, you don't know if Wilson's going to be available next year. You don't know if Rodgers is going to be available next year. I get that. But my thing, though, is Wilson's going to be asking for a max contract. And what's Dak Prescott getting, like $40-something million a year? I mean, do you want to tie all that money up?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I'm not there yet. That's like my arrow right now. My arrow's up just enough that I'm not there to commit to a quarterback, especially when all you have is Smith getting the ball. You have Rager, that bum Rager on the team, then you got Barnett out there not even doing anything. So, I mean.
All right, Matt. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
See you, buddy. Right. Yeah, the people don't want Russell Wilson. So.
I don't get it.
Called it a max contract. Yeah, it's going to feel like a max contract when you sign him, when you get him, for sure. I'd gladly get the max contract on Russell Wilson. Yeah, maybe he says, you know what, I'll come there and I won't try to get the Dak Prescott money. Maybe he says, give me the Dak Prescott money. I'll backload it. I don't care. I'll give high cap hits in years 3, 4, and 5. And then I'll redo the contract after 2 years, and I'll do the same thing.
But this is my thing, right? With the whole money part of it. If the guy is worth it, what difference does it make about the money? Like, what difference does it make?
Doesn't make any difference.
You can have a guy, you can have a quarterback that you only pay $1 million to.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if he can't play, then you're saying to yourself, okay, what's the point of having him there? You don't mind paying the quarterback the money as long as he's worth it.
Right.
And the idea that somehow Russell is going to eat up so much cap space that you aren't going to be able to sign guys, if you bring Russell Wilson on board here, you're going to make room to be able to give Russell Wilson the weapons. Why would the Eagles go get Russell Wilson and then not provide him with the adequate weapons to justify getting Russell Wilson? So you know they would make the other moves that need to be made, whether that's releasing Fletcher, whether that's releasing Brandon Brooks, you know, moving on from certain guys. They're already going to get guys off of contract this year. But what it really means is they would go out and get a veteran wide receiver to put with Russell Wilson.
Right.
And Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders. Like, that's what you would have. Like, Russell Wilson would elevate everyone. Russell Wilson in this offense elevates everybody. He elevates Nick Sirianni. Because now Nick Sirianni doesn't have to do everything himself. You know why Matt LaFleur or Mike LaFleur, whatever, which LaFleur it is in Green Bay, has been to 2 straight NFC championship games and looked like he's on his way to his 3rd. You know why he can look like that in just 3 years of ever being a coach?
Mm.
Well, who the hell is playing quarterback for him?
If it's Jordan Love, he doesn't have that same kind
of success. Thank you. And that shows you how smart he is. He drafted Jordan Love after the guy won the MVP and had him in the NFC championship game. He ain't even smart enough to know he got a great quarterback on his team. That's how smart he is. These quarterbacks help these coaches out. Bruce Arians thought he knew everything until Tom Brady came down there. All that risk it, no biscuit nonsense.
And now it's the Tom Brady show. Yes! It's not the Bruce Arians show.
These veteran quarterbacks that have won, that understand offense, that don't get rattled under pressure, that you can open up your entire playbook to, it makes you smarter as a coach. It makes you smarter as a GM.
Yeah.
That's what having guys like that does.
Yep. Yeah, and for all the people that are like, well, you wouldn't be able to build a team around Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you would.
That puts the Eagles in all-in win-now mode. And it doesn't have to be year one, but that puts them in the saying, okay, everything, that's when Howie and what he does with the cap becomes important. Because now he can move stuff around and re-sign guys and put big cap hits later on. You kick the can down the line a couple years, and then like with Russell Wilson, okay, he plays his first 2 years under that smaller cap, then you redo the contract, you give roster bonuses, and you just keep kicking it back, kicking it down.
Your offensive line is young, with the exception of Lane Johnson and Jason. Everybody else is under contract already. Mailata's under contract. Dickerson's under a rookie deal. The other guys are under rookie deals. Dallas Goedert is already locked up with an extension. Devontae Smith is under a rookie deal. By the way, he got a fifth year on him, so you got him for 4 years on a rookie deal. Like, you don't need to add anybody on the offensive side of the ball where you're going to have to pay money. Miles Sanders, last year of his deal, next year, you'll draft another running back in the third or fourth round. You don't need a first or second round draft pick to get a running back. Draft one in the third or fourth round to replace, right?
And he's making the rookie money, and he's productive. Yep.
On top of having Kenny Gainwell here.
Yeah.
As a nice little extra back out of the backfield. So I'm just saying, adding, and then when you look on the defensive side of the ball, who are you paying money over there? Darius Slay and Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox. But you know you're going to have to move on from Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox.
Sure.
Is anybody here telling me they wouldn't be willing to move on from Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox for Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I love Brandon, but
– well, I'm just saying, right?
Yeah,
So you got to make those type of concessions, and then you bring in a younger guy, whether it's Devontae Adams or – which would cost you the moon and the stars, but you could get a Chris Godwin that wouldn't cost you as much. You can get a Michael Gallup that wouldn't cost you as much to add with those guys. I'm just saying, the idea that you couldn't put a team together to be competitive to win this division – in year one, it's just foolish. If they were going to do that, they would have the idea of how they get the most out of Russell Wilson. They're not going to just say, here, Russell Wilson, go play with Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith.
If Russell Wilson's the quarterback of the team this year, how many wins do they have?
This past year?
Yeah.
Or easily double digits?
Yeah.
Easily. 10, 11.
If Russell Wilson is the quarterback of the Giants this year, how many wins do they have? Probably around the same thing.
Yeah.
As we bring in Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet and the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, his calls are brought to us by BetRivers Sportsbook. Check out the daily specials and see what unique bets are waiting for you at BetRivers.com. What's up, Costos?
What's going on? Happy Football Friday, gentlemen. How we doing?
You too, buddy.
What's up, Nick?
What's up?
So what do you like this weekend, man?
I mean...
Lots?
How much time do you have?
About 6 minutes here. Let's start with the Saturday games.
Okay, so Bengals-Titans.
Yes.
At the current number, I like nothing. I bet Titans minus 2.5. That I only say that to kind of pump myself up, I guess, because the number no longer exists. It's 3.5. I think the number is perfect. The total may be a little too low, but I think like right about where it needs to be. If I had to bet it, if I had to bet the side, I'd lay it with Tennessee. If I had to bet the total, I bet the over. So that's how I'm leaning in the game at the current numbers here. But I do have some props I like for this game.
Yeah.
With the Titans basically back at full strength offensively, with Derrick Henry going to be back in this game, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones both healthy, I think that we are actually overlooking Ryan Tannehill a little bit. So Ryan Tannehill's passing yards prop in this game is 237.5 at Bet Rivers. I like that over. The Titans may be the best play-action team in the NFL when they've got everybody healthy, which they do, and the Bengals terrible at defending the play-action pass. So Tannehill over 237.5 passing yards. Also want to take a stab on Ryan Tannehill anytime touchdown. Because think about it, right? What's going to happen? They get down by the goal line, first and goal from the two. Everyone's keyed in on Derrick Henry. Here's a naked bootleg to Mr. Tannehill strolling into the end zone untouched. So Tannehill anytime touchdown. And Julio Jones really looked good in week 18. It's been an injury-marred first season to him in the Music City, obviously, for Julio. But he started to come on at the end of the season, looked great in the season finale. His receiving yards prop has moved up 8 yards over the course of the last 72 hours. I talked about it on Wednesday on You Better, You Bet at 38.5. Now it's 46.5. I would still bet the over on Julio Jones. So some props for you for the Titans and Bengals. Again, Titans and the over if I had to play it, but I don't like either at the current numbers.
Does Green Bay, does that look too easy to take in the nightcap at 5.5 points? How do you look at that game, Nick?
I bet the 49ers plus 6, so I like San Francisco in the game. And actually, it's interesting, right? I think the expectation was going to be, coming off San Francisco's win on Sunday against Dallas, and with the Packers with the bye, that it would be San Francisco, the ones with the problematic injury report, and not the Green Bay Packers. And it actually now looks like that's going to be the opposite. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start in the game, practiced in full the last couple days. We still wait official confirmation on Nick Bosa being potentially cleared here. That has not happened yet, but the Niners said, Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, the expectation is that Bosa is going to be cleared and is going to play. Fred Warner and Elijah Mitchell both practicing in full. And for the Packers, left tackle David Bakhtiari, Matt LaFleur said he's questionable. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is doubtful. So at six, I'm into the Niners. 5.5, I guess, is okay. Five is a dead number for people that don't know. Like, games don't often land on five. So, like, you'd much rather get six if you want to bet the 49ers. I actually feel like as we approach kickoff, this number could go down in favor of San Francisco. So Niners would be the side I would play in the game. Just a couple props very quickly here. If MVS does not play, Valdes-Scantling, their deep threat, let's go Alan Lazard, over 38.5 receiving yards. And we know Garoppolo in the cold. He's not 100%. Packers pass rush is going to be fully healthy. I think it's a lot of low A-dot average depth of target passes from Garoppolo. So I'm looking at overs receiving yards-wise for Kyle Juszczyk, Elijah Mitchell, and Deebo Samuel all coming up on Saturday night.
I like that, Nick. All right, so doesn't Sunday's game, doesn't that actually look like that's the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game when you just look at those two games?
I would take the Packers over the Rams, but certainly I think Bucks-Packers would be like absolutely like an awesome NFC Championship game, especially after what we saw happen last year. So we do have some updated injury information here. As of a couple minutes ago, Rams head coach Sean McVay telling the media that left tackle Andrew Whitworth will not play in the game on Sunday. That is a huge loss for the Rams. That is the side that Shaq Barrett lines up on, rushing the passer, gutting at Matthew Stafford. Safety Taylor Rapp is not going to play as well for the LA Rams. Now, the Bucs are not without their own injury concerns on the offensive line. We still await official word on right tackle Tristan Wirfs, and obviously all the Eagles fans know that watched the game last week. Wirfs leaves the game, comes back in, he can barely walk.
Yeah.
And center Ryan Jensen also leaves the game. So they didn't practice this whole week. Not a surprise. Arian said on Tuesday they weren't going to practice. So we don't know if those guys are going to end up playing in the game, and that obviously will affect things, of course, right? I like Tampa in the game, so I bet Tampa 2.5. That would be the side I would look for, but I do think that, like, if people want to make a case for the Rams, I certainly think there's a case to be made. I think that teasing the Rams makes a lot of sense. Currently at 2.5, get them up over 3-7. Why do you want to do that? Games land on 3-7 more than any other two numbers if you think about how NFL scoring is constructed, right? So if the Bucs win by 3 or 7, you still win that leg of the teaser with the Rams at plus 8.5. So if you like the Rams, that's how I would choose to play it, and we can talk about what other leg you'd want to pair that with this weekend.
All right, Buffalo, Kansas City. I don't know if Bet Rivers it's 1.5 or 2, but I mean, is this line an overreaction from what happened last week with Buffalo crushing New England, Nick?
The line's, I think, perfect. Last year, the AFC Championship game, these two teams played at Arrowhead. Chiefs were 3. They played earlier in the season at Arrowhead. Chiefs were 2.5. The spread was always going to be Kansas City favored by less than 3 points. That's always what it was going to be. It's not a surprise at all. I think there's an intelligent case to be made either side. You can make the case for Buffalo. Josh Allen and company are rolling, and they're certainly going to score on this Kansas City defense. And on the flip side, you can make the argument that the Bills, since they lost top cornerback Tre'Davious White with a torn ACL, this defense has not been tested by opposing passing attacks, including 3 games against the impotent offense with Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. So I think there's a case to be made on both sides. I honestly think, like, I could tell you I like one side in this game. I think I'm flipping a coin. I don't have like a strong take on the side. I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. I will make a bet on this game. I'll bet the over. It's a little worrisome when you get a total this high in the mid-50s. Like, one or two things go wrong, you lose. I think we see a lot of touchdowns in this game. So I like the over. I'll go over 54. And I'll give out, I have a lot of props I like in this game, but I'll save those for my show if it's okay. But I will give out one anytime touchdown prop that I really like, that I feel like is a really nice value. We have seen, ever since Cole Beasley missed that Patriots game on December 26th, the second Patriots game in Foxborough, that the Bills won that game. Ever since he missed that game due to COVID, Isaiah McKenzie has really come on, and I think, like, objectively watching the games, so this is not like a political statement, like, it's just like a fact, like, McKenzie's better than Beasley. And last week we saw McKenzie playing ahead of Beasley in the passing attack when the Bills destroyed the New England Patriots. McKenzie anytime touchdown is plus 525. Beasley's like plus 325. I actually think the odds should be flipped, so I think we've got some value there. Pizza or beer money, Isaiah McKenzie anytime touchdown. And just quickly, one prop in the Rams-Bucks game that I didn't mention. I still feel like sportsbooks are getting Odell Beckham's prop wrong. For the last 6 weeks, he's been priced in the mid-40s. He's clearly the number two option in that passing attack now behind Cooper Kupp. He gets the ball a ton from Matthew Stafford. Van Jefferson relegated to the third wide receiver role. I like Odell Beckham over 46.5 receiving yards quite a bit.
Yeah, I like that. that one, too. All right, the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more of these props and more of Nick's analysis. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcast or on the Odyssey app. Nick, thanks, brother.
Appreciate it, bro.
Appreciate it, guys. And, hey, look, Giants now have a new GM that, by all accounts at this point yet, is not brain dead. So watch out, Philadelphia. We're coming for you next year. Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll see who they hire. That's Nick Kostos.
You get a quarterback.
Insider calls are brought to you by BetRivers Sportsbook. Check out the daily specials and see what unique bets are waiting for you at BetRivers.com. Yeah, they need a quarterback.
And a coach, right?
Kind of like us, yeah. Now they have to he's the assistant GM in Buffalo, so maybe Brian Daboll, their offense coordinator, yeah, comes down with them.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, now they just need Josh Allen and everything will be fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Elliot Short Parks is coming up next. His takeaway from Howie and Nick Sirianni press conference, does he believe they're committed to Jalen Hurts? Is he committed to Jalen Hurts?
I almost broke a blood vessel listening to Elliot.
Elliot is pivoting off of Hurts. Even Giglio has pivoted off of Hurts.
I tell you.
I've heard him talking this week. Yeah. He's not telling everybody how you should believe in Jalen Hurts. He does. Now he's just saying it makes the most sense to bring him back. He pivoted. Elliot Short Parks coming up next. And we'll take phone calls next segment, so don't go anywhere. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, the NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get up to $10 back if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Now, same-game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You can combine multiple bets on the money line, point spread, player stats, and so much more. We just finished talking about that Buffalo-Kansas City game. And, man, I am torn. I'm going to go with Kansas City. That's where my heart is at. But, man, this feels like a Buffalo win to me because that Buffalo quarterback is playing outstanding. Matter of fact, how about the same game parlays on him? Josh Allen is over rushing yards. How about the receiver Diggs over reception and that tight end? Very unknown. Anytime touchdown, he's Allen's favorite target there in the red zone. Now, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Already have an account? Well, just place your risk-free same-game parlay on any divisional round game to qualify. New customers, join today with promo code Ike to get your risk-free bet. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in a divisional round to win after using promo code Ike. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Again, that's promo code Ike on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.